Welcome back to Can You Believe That with Matt and Jamie. We've got some great topics for you today. And Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing better than I was last week, but my sarcasm is still there.
We have some tighter topics. We're trying to cut down on the tangents, so we guarantee that tangents are a part of this podcast. They'll never be gone. But trying to keep it to a minimum. So today we're looking at a couple things. First up, we saw an article on Upworthy, and they were talking about things that could happen by 2050. And then we're going to get into the State of the Union address a little bit and our impressions on that.
Mm-hmm.
And was there anything else you were going to bring up?
We could talk about one hobby that we shared coming up with comic books. We could talk a little bit about the return of Milestone Media sometime this year, and maybe some of the movies we're looking forward to.
Okay. Oh yeah, definitely talk about those movies. So, as you know, you can get the podcast on our website at believethat.blackvalor.net. Or you can always subscribe to us on iTunes or any of your other feed readers on the RSS feed that we have on our webpage. You can send us email at believethatnews@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook and Twitter at Believe That News. So, exciting things that could happen by 2050. One they have at the top, I think, is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so crazy, but they say our digital and physical worlds could be virtually seamless. What do you think?
Well, considering how if you look at technology through the years with movies and stuff, especially when they do sci-fi or genre flick, as some people like to call them now, you will see technology which people go, wow, that'd be great to have. Too bad they'll never do it. And the thing that I've seen in quite a few shows, you see it in Iron Man. If you watched the show Almost Human, you saw it in this, were these seemingly floating in nowhere displays,
right.
Computer displays. I really think you could see that happen in another 20, 30 years because, I mean, just look at where we're going now. I mean, we've had versions of phone watches.
Right.
And now the phone watches, or they're pushing the phone watch again, and it has even more capability. I mean, the cell phones we use today probably still have more computing power than your average air traffic control tower. Still fly, don't get scared, it's still safe. But, you know, let's think about this for a minute. I mean, and now we're pushing even further and further forward with this tech. And I could easily see having a computer on a contact lens or something that you could like wear in your ear like a Bluetooth, but with a display up in front of your face.
I mean, they're getting there. You've got people who are really inserting wireless technology into their body, or you have the tattoos that people use. And I was going to mention too, like you said, Star Trek, they had communicators and things like that people thought were so futuristic. And now you've got the power of the Enterprise in one device.
Literally the computing power that they showed on the old 60s Star Trek.
Right.
In the palm of your hand every day walking down the street.
In fact, I pay a Star Trek game on my phone that you run the Star Trek, but that's beside the point. There are lots of different things that they're doing with technology and artificial intelligence even. So I don't think it's really too crazy to say that our digital and physical worlds could be seamless or you could see those kind of devices. I know I think it was Turkey, the president there had a hologram of himself giving a speech.
Right.
They I don't know what technology they use, probably projectors and things like that, but they had a big hologram. So,
well, just a couple of years ago, somebody did a duet with Tupac.
Yeah.
With a hologram of Tupac.
Well, I went to the Lincoln well, I guess it was the Lincoln Library, but it's the / museum. Right. And they have a presentation there where you're talking, or there's this guy talking, he's going on about Lincoln. And through the presentation at the beginning, I was trying to determine whether this guy was real or not. And then they had some other graphics and things, and I was like, oh, okay. I think it's recorded, but it looked pretty real.
Right.
And then toward the end, you know, it kind of fades out, and you realize he's actually a ghost. But, I mean, that looks so realistic that it took me a minute before I could figure out that, well, yeah, that's recorded. And the only thing wasn't necessarily the way it looked, but the fact that it was too perfect is what gave it away.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. That was one of the complaints about HD before everybody adopted it. I'm like, even I was like, I really don't want to see somebody's pores, you know, because it was like too, it looked too good.
Right.
And if you look at, like, especially newer HD TVs, look at fire. The fire on the screen looks more like fire than fire in real life.
Right, yeah.
That's crazy. But as far as the artificial intelligence thing goes, call me paranoid, but yeah, I really don't need Skynet in my life. I'm not trying to fight the robots when it's self-aware.
The Terminator ruined it.
Yeah, pretty much. It ruined the whole concept for me. I'm like, okay. Let's make them smart, but let's make them dumb.
Well, I see. When you have people that work in that field for a living and they have billions of dollars behind them and they say, I'm afraid of this stuff, I think that's a reason to be concerned.
Yeah, it should be a reason to be concerned.
Yes.
I mean, but like I said, I'm a technology junkie. I love this stuff. Same here. I've had most of the game systems to come out since the original NES. And I mean, before that, they weren't mine. I played in Intellivision. I played in Ataris. They were my parents, but I played most of the time. You know, so when I see the new technology come out, man, I love it.
Same
it's,
here.
It's just that are we smart enough to not? Our technology already outpaces our common sense.
Right.
Is, you know, will there be a point where it comes back to bite us? I hope not.
Well, I think one area where
I hope to live to see some of this fantastic stuff.
I think one area where the digital and physical worlds colliding, or you can see, is kind of the new takes on things such as Facebook or maybe the dating stuff that's out there, where people are getting conditioned to look at individuals they've never met as their friends or start having relationships with them. I mean, for me, I don't know about you, but my Facebook, I know everyone that's on there as a friend. I don't put people on there I don't know personally.
I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say there are people that I follow that I don't know personally because I like something they do. Like, I follow a lot of the black female cosplayers and some guys that are cosplayers because I like the stuff that they do. For the most part, most of the people on my friends list are people I have some connection to and I remember.
Right.
I have a distinct memory of them. You know, there were people that I'm glad that I didn't have a distinct memory of them, but I'm glad I accepted their friend request anyway, because it turns out once the memory finally did kick in, we were friends back in the day. We just hadn't seen each other.
Right. And I mean, there's that. And I'm a gamer too. I'm not into online gaming much, but I know there are a lot of people in that community where they make friends with people they've played games with online, but they've never actually met them, but they would consider them friends. And they even start podcasts or do things, and then eventually they will get to know each other. Some people get married through that kind of stuff. So I can see in the, say, we're talking about 2050. Where that wouldn't be so uncommon. For one, you'd have a couple more generations where this digital world is how people interact. But
as a personal note, that's how me and my wife got together. I mean, we knew each other from our mid-teens, but hadn't seen each other since we were in our early 20s, and we met back up through Facebook.
Right,
and
and
it just ended up developing back into what it is now. So yeah, there that definitely is there. But also, I think it's going to open. I think this digital monster that's been created is also going to open up, and is already starting to open up, a whole new area of law enforcement.
Oh yes,
because you have these cyber bullies and these ripoff artists and these things. I mean, the technology has outpaced the regulation and stuff for it. I don't necessarily want the government coming in and telling me I can't go look at naked pictures of pretty girls if I want to. but at the same time, I shouldn't be able to jump on Facebook and degrade a whole race of people or say absolutely positively anything I want to someone without some type of, you know, hey, this is a no holds bar room. If you want to come in here, this is what you're going to get. And I think there's a lot of self-policing that goes on with it.
It's almost all self-policing at this point.
But it's almost all self-policing, and you get people, I mean, you got kids out here killing themselves because they're getting bullied from the time they open their eyes in the morning to the time they close their eyes at night. And I mean, yeah, we got bullied. But when you walked back in the door at home, that was your time off and away from that madness.
Yep.
Now it's 24/7, 365.
Well, you know,
and stuff that's on the internet is there forever.
And you know, my kids, they're not allowed to do that stuff. Said, right. Oh, my son's like, oh, I'm 13. I can, no, I don't care what age you are. You don't do stuff to what I say you can.
Right.
And like, no, we'll stay away from that. But I think we can fairly say that for the first one, digital and physical worlds could be virtually seamless in 2050. That'd be plausible. That's what I would put it down as.
Yeah, that's definitely plausible.
Next one was, maybe we'll start making cross-country trips a lot easier. And in particular, they're talking about the high-speed rail system.
You know what? So, I would love it. I would love it. It would make it for me to where I would want to take these long trips to see more of the country. Because right now, and I mean, I know flying is supposed to be safe, but if I'm going to put my life in the hands of another person, I would rather it be on the ground where I got a shot. You know, because falling from the sky, yeah, God can do anything. But, you know, how often do you hear about a plane falling out of the sky and there being a bunch of survivors? Usually people are paced when they hit the ground.
Yeah.
Hey, no thanks.
It happens on a rare occasion. Someone walks away, but for the most part, no.
Mostly they're picking up chunks. And I would like to be able to be identified, put in a casket, and burned or shoved in the ground. Thank you very much.
Well, and look at this. They're saying that with this high-speed rail system, travel time would be at about 220 miles per hour. So that's only slightly slower than most airplanes fly at cruise altitude. And you have that added aspect, I think, of just being able to be on the ground and sightsee. You have the plane zipping past. You're not going to see a lot, but you're going to have stops. You're going to have chances to stretch your feet and, you know.
Well, that was 220 miles an hour would put you from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia in a little bit less or a little bit more than an hour.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and I would like to see Philadelphia. I mean, I was there once, but I wasn't really there.
Right.
You know, it was like I flew in, got on a bus, and went into New Jersey for school, for a job I had. So all I really got to see Philadelphia was the old naval yard with the 3 million destroyers that I guess they were going to scrap at some point.
Right.
And the feeling the crosswinds trying to land it just over that shipyard, and that was it. I got to see a couple skyscrapers as we got on the highway. I mean, that was it.
Well, and
that was my exposure to Philly.
As someone who regularly drives 13-14 hour, you know, trips quite frequently,
yeah,
I would appreciate that if I could just take a train, because they do
I drove it once.
Well, I mean, the trains generally go closer to the city than the airplanes,
right?
You know, where you go, and it also reduces the need for getting rental cars and things like that once you get there, because they're generally going to drop you off where public transportation is available.
Right.
You know, they're very merged with the bus or other networks, whereas airplanes, you get dropped out in the boonies and cost you $20 to get to a place where you can get a cab or something. You know?
Right. It's a little crazy when they do that, but it's like, the concept of it. I mean, I love it. I just don't see it by 2050, considering the people we currently have running the country. And I don't even mean the federal government at this point. I'm talking about they proposed doing high-speed rail, starting to do it back in 2009, and states had the money, and they turned it down because they didn't like who the president was. Because you had one in Wisconsin, you had one in Florida. California said, the hell with all of y'all, we're doing it. So it's just like, because you had the starts of the network right there. Heck, Pittsburgh was supposed to get a run. It was supposed to run from here to Greensburg.
Yeah. Well, how'd they do with their tube station there?
Let's not even talk about that waste of the time that is the Pittsburgh so-called subway. Well, it only goes to the South Hills.
I don't think the high-speed rail will be done just for those political reasons and the cost it would take to just to create it. I mean, I don't see it happening. Air is still going to be the dominant means of transportation across the country. And there's the trains today, they cost almost as much as the airfare, but it's going to cost or take you three times as long to make the same trip.
Well, I mean, that's if you do it on current rail. I mean,
well, what I'm looking
talking about, you're talking about laying a completely new system,
right?
And learning from what other countries have done. Whereas, like you have China that has high speed rail, you have Japan that has high speed rail, you have places in Europe where they're trying to push it up over 230 miles an hour, and I mean, come on, man. These are places that we claim to be better than.
But I'm just thinking, if this is what we have with our current rail network, it'll generally be those same people. How much are they going to try and charge for this service? And then the investors are going to run from that because they're not going to get the traction. They're not going to get the land that they need to redo that, because what are they going to just stop using train? They can't use the same rails. They're not going to tear up the existing rail network. They're going to have to build new rail networks. I see a whole list of problems.
It's not going to happen because you got people being short-sighted.
Yeah.
Think about it. You got most of these other countries using their high-speed rail, and I'm sure they do it some for cargo. But think about what they're doing. They're mostly used that for passenger travel. What if you could adapt it for passenger and cargo? Like our current rail system.
Yeah, I tell you.
Now you're moving goods that much faster. You're saving the fuel of trying to fly it. You're getting some of these dang semis off the dang streets, which is making the highway safer, and you putting less wear and tear on them. So, I mean, it's a win-win situation. They just don't want to put the money out up front.
No, and I tell you, when I was in Korea, man, that was the only way I traveled. Mm-hmm. I would get a bus from the base to one of the hubs, and that was it. I was on their rail or their subway network, and you could go anywhere in the country, and it was all relatively inexpensive. Well, it was very inexpensive compared to what you would pay
here.
Yeah, so I think it's a good idea, but we're not going to see it in America anytime soon. So I'll say that as not possible.
That's definitely unlikely.
Then next was maybe we'll cure cancer. Sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, think about it like this. I mean, you have these, and it would cross over with the first one. I mean, you got stuff coming out, new treatments for stuff every year or two now.
Right.
I mean, they got this thing for prostate cancer I haven't heard about in Pittsburgh yet, but they're pushing it kind of hard in New York, called CyberKnife, to deal with prostate cancer. And I mean, it's like, you know, you have this thing and you have all these other treatments that are being proven and put through, and they're coming out with, I mean, the advances in medicine are there. And I mean, a lot of the cancer A lot of cancer has to do with what we eat, too, I think, personally.
Well, yeah, environmental factors. I mean, what we eat, what we breathe, you know, all the stuff that we use on a daily basis.
Right. I mean, stuff we are using to call ourselves clean every day. I mean, you know.
I used to wash jets and, you know, take in that stuff that you, the soap and everything, by the bucket loads. And then one day they're like, oh, that's carcinogenic. Like, oh, great.
Thanks for telling
me. Nice to know, you know.
I did better just walking in front of the radar. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to do that, but that's another story.
I think I remember you telling me.
Yeah. He was like, I don't care. I'm sterile anyways. Like, good on you. We're glad.
Yeah. Thank God.
We don't need
God.
You populating the gene pool.
Yeah. We've already had that discussion.
Yeah. But I would say that I would put that on plausible, but only in the sense that I think we're due anyway to find a cure for cancer. So if it was to happen next week, I would not be surprised.
Right. And we're due to find a cure for something.
Right.
I mean, there's major stuff that hasn't been cured, and I'm sure one day we'll have a riff on the pharmaceutical companies and why we think that is. But I see a cure for cancer being plausible. Definitely being plausible.
Yep. Okay, so next we have, maybe we'll celebrate the discovery of life on other planets.
I'm going to say, possible.
I would say not likely, but I would never say that there is no life on other planets.
Yeah, the math just is all against you on that.
Exactly.
But my thing is, I mean, it doesn't have to be. See, everybody thinks life on other planets. They think life like us. No, you go and you found a microbe on another planet, you found life.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we're talking about sending people to Mars. Yeah, we haven't found any life on Mars. We consider it too cold. We consider it this. But all the evidence currently is pointing to that at one time, Mars had water.
Right.
At one time, Mars may have been blue and green like Earth, but it was just a little bit too small to sustain it.
Well, and I think there's a bit of scientific arrogance in that, where everything is based off the fact of what we already know and assuming that's the rules that apply everywhere in the universe.
Right. Yeah. You have that.
It's like, oh, you don't have oxygen, so you can't have this. Well, not necessarily.
Well, I mean, look at all the weird stuff they're finding on the old hydrocarbon moon that I'm sure if he could, Dick Cheney would have it invaded, out on Saturn, where they're saying that the land masses are water ice and the oceans are liquid methane.
Right.
And it actually rains methane there, you know, and this is within our solar system.
Right.
Now, they're also saying that, and I've read a few things on it, where they have satellites that are, like, orbiting this thing. And they keep seeing these weird developments pop up. Like, something will be there one day, then it's not there the next day. Then it's over here. And then, who's to say there's not something going through some type of life cycle there?
Right.
I mean, who's to say? Because they're saying that on these moons that orbit the large gas giants, there's enough heat and there's enough water because of the gravitational forces that are out there pulling on them between, you know, what's going on in the solar system. They're saying there's a couple of these moons that are like deep water oceans, and they have heat, and they have internal heat.
Right.
They could have some form of microbial life on them, or more.
I mean, back in December, they said that the Curiosity rover found some organic chemicals. They're, again, not saying that life exists, but they are finding some things on Mars. And I believe the only certainty is that we don't know everything, and we won't know everything. So there's always more room to find something that we haven't seen before.
Right. And mind you, that's just within our little dust mote.
Right.
A part of this little galaxy.
Right.
Which is a part of billions and billions of galaxies.
Yeah.
And this galaxy has billions and billions of stars.
Yes.
With billions and billions of solar systems. and maybe trillions of planets.
Which is why I say I don't think we'll find it anytime soon. But again, if it happens, I would not be surprised because, as you mentioned, the odds are against there not being anything
right with those. And planets. Let's just hope that I know it won't shake mine. I seriously doubt it would shake yours. But should something with two legs, two arms, two eyes, two ears, and a mouth show up from outer space and go, hi, I hope it doesn't drive the planet into, oh, God doesn't exist.
I don't see that because I think there can God, there's nothing that says God can only create the Earth and us.
Right. There's nothing that says that.
God could have created any number of other beings and planets with people on them. So I don't think that necessarily denies the presence of God. Because it is God.
I don't believe it does either.
But yeah, narrow-minded people who only look through their blinders, then I can see that. So let's see, next one. Oh, this has been a long time dream of people, but could we have flying cars?
No, I don't want flying cars. I deal with enough crazy people with the cars on the ground.
Which is kind of funny because, I mean, there have been flying cars.
Yeah, there are commercially. Flying cars now.
Yeah, they're not commercial. I know there is one guy right now who's selling the kit you could buy. I think it's like $150,000, $200,000 you could buy a flying car kit. But they're just not practical.
No, you would need something along the lines of it would need to be able to take off and land vertically.
Yeah.
It would need to be able to fly using the controls of a car, which isn't really practical.
And what are they going to use for a fuel source? I mean, you don't like filling up your tank in your car that rides on the ground, but one that flies. Avgas is expensive.
Using more fuel. Yeah. Even if you could do it on the same gas, same type of fuel we have now, it takes more power to fly.
And skill.
So how would you create lift? You know what I mean?
It would cost gas, but just pure propulsion that pushes you forward, but it's not going to, you can't have something I think that's aerodynamic that fits, say, a family or a four person vehicle.
Right.
And it's not going to take up a lot of space once it actually touches down on the ground and you convert it to car mode or whatever.
Right. I mean, it would take a completely new energy source and power plant and all that good stuff. So I'm going to say no.
I think the technology is there to do it. I just don't think it's practical.
Right. I don't think it's practical either. I mean, unless we were to come up with some more Star Trek style technology, I just don't see it.
Only thing that would make that great is if everyone was doing that, I would still drive my car and I just wouldn't have traffic to deal with on the ground.
Yeah, that would be me. That would be me because I don't want to be bothered with none of you people.
I mean, can you imagine the accidents in the air? Then you got idiot drivers drunk flying, crashing in the houses.
Yeah, that's why I don't want it. No. Yeah. It would be cool to see, but I mean, imagine all the people you all like today on the news here. It was, somebody crashed into a house.
What if it's automated, Google car style? So if it's, it has GPS, it has GPS, radar, all those things. So you basically get in, program in your destination. The vehicle gets you there. You get out. You don't have to touch the wheel except for emergencies. But for all intents and purposes, you're not doing anything but riding along.
There's still hackers, there's still malfunctions, it's still a system I'm going to go with. For me, no.
Yeah, I think they'd have done better to put on there maybe the driverless
car. Yeah, I could. I would be more comfortable with that.
Yeah. Now, do you think, though, it's not on the list, but that's something they're working really hard at. I mean, even DARPA's had a couple competitions for driverless vehicles.
They have them. I mean, Carnegie Mellon's been working on them for 25 years.
Yeah.
And if they were able to fix it to where it was a situation where I think the movie was called The Sixth Day, if you ever saw that, yeah. I don't know, where you drove on the city road, regular city roads, but when you got out onto the highway took over, so you could get more people on the highway, and it was more, it was a controlled traffic pattern.
Hey, they had them in my favorite movie, Demolition Man, you know.
Yeah, they had that in Demolition Man, too, yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, that is one of my better movies. That is one of my favorite movies there. But,
They're out there. I just it's more of an acceptance factor. I think.
Right.
I don't believe they could be successful as long as people are still driving, because the car may be safe and sound, but you can't account for bad drivers who don't have automated vehicles on the road.
Right. Right. And you know what? I'm sure they've taken that into account.
Yeah.
But at the same time, driverless cars, I'd be more for, as long as they didn't fly. Because, I mean, it's bad enough when you get the idiot that drives into your kitchen. I don't want them I don't want them diving out of the sky into my bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, so those were the five, I think it was five things we mentioned.
Yeah, it was five good, it was the five good things. Yeah. They had five creepy things, too.
They had five creepy things. You want to get into those?
Pick a couple. I don't care.
All right. Flooding in coastal cities? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's already happening and happened. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Why? One of the reasons I love living in Pittsburgh. Why? Because I'm at the top of a mountain, and then I'm at the top of a mountain. This is the top of a mountain. Anyway.
Widespread food shortages. Again.
Yep.
It's already happening. Has it's more of, I think, a matter of distribution than anything, yeah, than there being true food shortages.
There's more than enough food on the planet to feed, right, every person on the planet. But as long as you have greed and unwillingness to help others.
Well, I think in war.
Or greed on the receiving end. Because, I mean, a lot of the places where help is sent,
yeah,
for the people that are starving, the leadership there tends to be corrupt sometime, and they hoard the food or take the food and don't distribute it to
people.
Well,
and I think war has really interrupted those areas where they do have starvation. It's usually because, yes, you have these places with personal armies or, as you said, corrupt governments, or the merging, mm-hmm, of the two, which, right, keeps people from the fields to work, from going to places where they have the food to distribute to them.
Right. You know,
that was a big problem with Somalia. We would take food in there, and instantly the warlords would take it and use it as a form, right, of control. So,
yep,
that's happening now in Africa.
That happens. That happens everywhere you, yeah, have that type of starvation, because you get the quote unquote strong man situation, and they go and they try to, they hoard for themselves and their inner circle, and to hell with everybody else.
Okay, you know? Here's an old threat made new. Cyber and nuclear warfare, which I think it's not fair necessarily to group those together.
I don't think you can group those together. I don't think you're going to have nuclear warfare unless you're able to get the nukes kind of like they have them in Starship Troopers,
yeah,
where you got the blast damage but none of the radiation,
right?
And it was localized.
Neutron bombs.
yeah. Basically, you would have like a very localized nuclear blast, which would vaporize everything within, like, say, a quarter mile. But you could walk through that area 5 seconds later and be fine.
Yeah, I don't even think that extremists are, I wouldn't say dumb enough, but I think they would even know the danger of setting off a nuke. Because, yeah, you may be ready to martyr yourself, but there's no place I don't think you can do that where you're not going to harm your own people. You know?
No, put it like this. Say some jackhole got lucky and blew up New York, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you just took 8 million of ours. Your country's full of about 35 million. This is the United States of America, which has no problem genociding people in general.
Hey,
yeah,
that's
every
a bit
year
harsh.
Gone. Huh?
That's a bit harsh.
But let's think about our history. Do we really have a problem genociding people? No, not really, no. And you just tried to genocide a whole city of ours? Yeah, goodbye.
So it wouldn't be a nation state doing it.
No, but they'd be coming out of a nation state.
Oh, yeah. They're,
and they would be sponsored by a nation state. And yeah, you could. It would be the world's largest Walmart parking lot.
Which is why I think anyone wants that, because no one wins in a nuclear war. But cyber warfare, I think, is a new Cold War, because it's going on
yes,
now.
I do too. Yes, it is.
It's constantly that our government's constantly being hacked and attacked.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly putting up protections against that and doing that to other countries. We've been caught out in China. We've been caught out in North Korea, you know, that we've hacked their systems.
We've been caught out hacking them. They've been caught out hacking us.
Yes, China's hacked us very publicly multiple times.
Right. It's just a case of who's going to hit the button first.
Right.
That actually takes down something major. You know, who's going to hack the electrical grid?
Well, you see, they blamed North Korea for the Sony. But then they went down for 2 days. The whole country that had their internet taken out for 2 days.
Well,
and then you have
your random hackers. You got some jackhole in the basement right now messing with Sony.
I think those are the worst.
Ruining my fun. Those are the worst.
And that's the most scary, because they have no allegiance to anyone but themselves, and their whole actions are just based on being malicious. There's no real reason. They don't have any political views a lot of times. They just want to see what they can do and test themselves.
And like, okay, so Anonymous has turned out to be more good than bad. I mean, at least from my perspective so far. But who's to say they don't become a-holes 5 minutes from now? You know, I mean, it's just that, you know, I think what we have is a case, again, like I said before, technology is ahead of our capacity to use it. Wasn't it General Bradley that said that?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, I thought you would have known that one.
No, I don't remember.
But I could have swore General Bradley said mankind's ability to make war far outstrides his common sense. And I think you have it's also in technology.
Yes.
I mean, it just is just wild.
Well, and it's something that can't be legislated, because it's global. It's international.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
one controls the internet, really. The things that connect into it. You can shut one node down and another pops up someplace else, or there's always some other way to get into a system.
I look at the internet like I heard something related about aspirin years ago. If they discovered aspirin today, do you know how regulated aspirin would probably be? Because of all the things that it does?
Right.
Same thing with the internet.
Oh, and you were right about Bradley. He said, if we continue to develop our technology without wisdom or prudence, our servant may prove to be our executioner.
Yeah, that. Hi, Skynet. How you doing? Don't kill me. Not yet. Anyway.
But those were some of the five worst things that they anticipate by 2050. our other topic, moving along, was the State of the Union.
The memes have been ridiculous. One question was, why is the old white guy who's the Speaker of the House darker than the black president?
Excuse me?
Oh yeah, John Boehner found a new shade of orange. I kid you not. He's actually, like, Barack Obama is like somewhere around our complexion,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little lighter. This dude is like a dark, dark reddish orange. It's ridiculous. Either that or my TV is cutting up and I need a new one.
Like I said, I didn't watch it. I was not feeling good, so I wasn't watching anything. But I read through what the president had to say. I think there was a lot more that I agreed with and I liked than things mm-hmm. I had problems with.
Right. You seem to be, at least on the station I was watching, because I watched it on MSNBC. There was a lot, and I know MSNBC is supposed to be the liberal channel, but they do some conservative stuff too. I don't think there's any true quote-unquote liberal anything.
Right.
I think everything skews conservative these days, but But that's just my opinion. But more people definitely were quote unquote agreeing with him, according to the, you know, everybody puts up their charts and their graphs now, right, whenever he runs his mouth. The things that I liked was that I finally got to see, I finally saw him put away the, okay, I'm trying to be accommodating here, I'm reaching, I have the hand reaching out thing. No, this was kind of like, look, here's the things we accomplished with me as the leader. And he didn't come out and say, and y'all fought me at every step to the Republicans, but that was definitely his tone.
Right.
And he basically gave it to him. I mean, do you something you say speaking with your friends? I mean, he was definitely issuing out gut punches and neck chops, because, you know, how do you sit there and how do you say that his policies are disastrous when you guys were running things? We were losing 750,000 jobs a month, not a year, a month.
Right.
And now we're gaining 250,000 to 300,000 a month and have been for almost 5 years straight. Right.
And I mean, I think some of the numbers he put were overly optimistic, but because we did lose some jobs, but on the main, you can't deny that we are on our way well out of the recession. Things are better financially for many people. The insurance programs were not as big a deal as people made them out to be, as far as the effect. And again, we probably still will have another 2 or 3 years to see how that plays out. But the baseline is that we wanted people to have insurance who never had a chance to have insurance. That has happened once bugs and things are worked out of the system.
Right.
So America is in a better place now. We're winding down the wars.
Right.
Finally. It's a big deal.
I mean, you're still going to have people. There's still people out there in those countries fighting. Yeah, but, which, I mean,
we'll be there forever. We know that.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But he seemed to recognize he's got 2 years, and as he put it, for him, it's all about legacy now.
Right.
And he's going to do his best, I believe, to work with people, which is what he was saying in his State of the Union address. And it's in his best interest to make sure things get done. And not that I think he's been really obstructionist with, because our Congress is dysfunctional anyway, regardless. So I agree with a lot of what he was saying. Some things I thought were kind of out there when he's talking about the internet and access. Yeah, okay. What's the government's role in that? You tell me.
Well, I mean, the government's role as far as the I feel internet goes is to get it out there to people. Have it available to people if they want it. I mean, you know, that's an infrastructure thing. That's a national security thing. I mean, we're barely on air receivable TV now. In 20 years, almost all of your information, most of your information comes over the internet now. In 20 years, I doubt there's going to be over-the-air TV
And I don't disagree with you with that, but my
you need the high-speed you need that high-speed data network.
But I haven't seen anything that the government has done to facilitate that. That's what I'm talking about. I agree with what you're saying.
I misunderstood you. I mean,
yeah, I'm saying he was talking about what they need to do or what they've done. I don't see that. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Surely, I haven't seen anything they've done to support it. I mean, even when we come talk about net neutrality, he said it would be nice if we had this, but there hasn't been a push from this administration to make that issue, even though it is for people.
Right. I think with him and this administration, you get a lot of important stuff that they don't tout and jump up and down about, that they do push, because I know he's like done stuff to talk to the FCC director or whatever to kind of push steer them in the direction of keeping net neutrality as is. And I hope they do, because I mean, just what we're doing right now, man, would be at risk if if net neutrality goes away.
Right.
But I mean,
I would want to see more from them as far as making it a service, just right. like the utility companies, you know, right. power, all that stuff. That it's just this is a basic utility.
Right. I would like to see all basic utilities come out of the hands of private corporations altogether. Yeah. Because it is a national security thing. Okay, we do get invaded. Okay, so now Duquesne Light's not making a profit. We're cutting off your power. I'm like a member of the National Guard. What are you doing? We're cutting off your power. You haven't paid us. I'm leaving to go fight in Florida right now because they've invaded from there. You're cutting off my power. What? Huh? You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
You say that, and those very things have happened
right.
to people.
Right, I know. And it's like, why is a private corporation able to hold this over my head? I mean, I'm just looking at my gas company up here.
So, I mean, in that, I would think he's putting out his desire, what he would like to see, which we all know is what Americans want. But
right.
I would like to see more concrete examples of how that's going to work, what the government right. is going to do right. for us in that regard. The other thing he had mentioned that picked a note with me was child care, mm-hmm. More slots, and $3,000 per child tax credit. And
yeah.
I agree, because child care is ridiculous. I told you. I mean, I've got four kids, so
right.
Child care is a big deal. My kids are now over that age where they can watch themselves. But
right.
one of the main reasons my wife didn't work a lot is yours, because we couldn't afford child care, and yeah. Any money she got when she tried to work went towards child care. And this is one of those areas that I believe isn't really reflected with people's salaries.
Right.
So you can say, oh, well, you get this much money, you should be able to live. Well, if I have to pay a third of that to someone else to watch my child when I go to work, then what's the benefit to me?
Okay, if I'm bringing home $1,000 every 2 weeks, okay, $2,000 a month sounds like a lot of money to some people. It really isn't that much. Now, mind you, I have to pay a mortgage, maintain a car, or buy or pay for a car, pay utilities, and now I'm picking up essentially a monthly car payment or a monthly mortgage payment a week for child care for yep. one child. And that right there is ridiculous.
Well,
and I'm sure there are a lot of other factors that make it cost that much, but it's out of stake and control.
Well, put it this way. In America, the average amount someone pays for child care is $972 a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's half of money.
That's half of a lot of people's income.
So if this was something that, say, they could actually drop a bill, get passed, that would help people, because, for one, we're not talking about just getting people to work, but keeping them gainfully employed.
Right.
Still providing them more money to take care of their family. And as right. we've said often on this show, when you have more, you're going to spend more, which still feeds back in.
Right back in the economy. Yeah.
So $3,000 isn't that much. I mean, you figure that's what, 3 months child care. So it's still
right.
a help. It's not
It's not
funding you people having more kids, which is, I'm sure, what some people will think. Oh, wow, we shouldn't be funding people. If you can't pay for kids, you shouldn't have kids. Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, you're going to be mindful of how much you're bringing in and what that effect would be if you brought a child into that scenario. The fact of the
right.
matter is, wages, as we said, have not kept up with the amount of things that cost for your
right.
basic child care and
utilities,
housing, just everything
survival.
You have to pay. Yeah, your basic survival.
So
that would be something that is good. Now, the more slots, I don't know how the government can help with that, government's going to provide more slots.
Well, a lot of places won't even have child care available if the federal government doesn't provide the money for it. They won't even put it out there. I mean, just look at Now, I mean, I don't know how good your memory are from when is from when we were 4 or 5 years old, but how many daycare buildings do you remember?
No,
you know, daycare buildings being outside.
Oh, I know, because I had coworkers.
All of that was federally funded when we were kids. Now, when it got to be the 80s, when we started getting ready to be teenagers, all of that went away. And all of those little buildings, there's one of those, I know where there's one of those buildings still standing. One. And it's up here near me, and that school was closed.
Well, I think it's hard to find childcare, but part of that is, again, because of the cost. So it's these places are closing because they've been priced out.
Well, no, this childcare was a part of your public school system.
Oh,
now,
okay, yeah.
Now, I'm talking about the stuff we went to.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what we went to when we were little. Now, just in downtown Pittsburgh, there are, off the top of my head, there are 7 or 8 daycare centers. And one of them's a chain, because I used to date girls whose kids went to these daycare centers, and they got assistance to send them. They still had to pay something, though. I mean, it's just that to open more slots means to give more money to private businesses who, even in their most, what's the word I'm looking for? Benevolent state, are out to make a profit. So if they can milk more money out of the government, they're going to.
Right. That's why that more slots seems to me a bit ambiguous as mm-hmm. to what that means and how that would translate into actual dollars and cents.
And help for people who need it.
Yes, because like the child tax cut, that another special credit, but you already have the child tax credit. And,
well, I think they wanted to expand the child tax credit. I mean, because they actually did cut it. It's been cut in the last several years.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know.
Oh, I know, you should know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why I'm telling you this. You have kids. I don't. Anyway.
Yeah, because I don't get most of those benefits anymore for having kids. You know, it's, well, especially with the elders.
Right.
Just aged out anyway. But, I mean, I can see it the last 2 years.
Right.
That hasn't been nearly as generous as it was in the past.
I mean, I had an ex-girlfriend who I'm like, why are you going to give the H&R Block all this money to do your taxes, and I can do it for you on your computer? Oh, well, I need the money now. Just take me up here, please. I took her up there. She didn't make half of what I made. She got $8,000 back. I'm like, I got $500. Yeah. I was pissed.
Yeah. And I mean, those are the things where they're talking about. That's you getting paid for having kids.
Right. You know? And I mean, look, I mean, she didn't do anything to break the law.
No. That's the benefit.
That's the benefit of having.
But
of
I
having
much
a
prefer
child.
Something like this where it's tied directly to something that's going to be productive for the nation, because if you need childcare, that means you're working.
Right. And I mean, she worked. She just made half of what I did and somehow got five to seven times back as much as I did. But
they
eat
more than you though, Flip. That's it.
No, that boy didn't. Anyway, nice enough kid. She was a jackhole. But the thing is, it's just one of those, how do you keep, like, I don't have a problem with somebody getting that. I have absolutely no problem with somebody getting that. What I have a problem with is you're still killing the people who need the help.
Right.
Because even though she got that $8,000 back or whatever or whatnot, that money went back in the clothing. It went back in the shelter.
Well, I mean, that's what it's for.
It went back in the stuff it was for, but you're murdering me on taxes, and you don't want Mitt Romney to pay another extra half cent on every dollar.
Well, that brings
above $1 million.
That brings up a good point on two of the other things he mentioned in the State of the Union was the minimum wage and paying taxes on accumulated wealth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we talked about minimum wage, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
Yeah, well, it's great. The states are doing it. It'd be nice if all the states follow suit, or if there was something federal that came out for more than just contractors who work for the government.
Right.
But this whole point of paying taxes on the accumulated wealth, I think, is important to cover. I just don't believe that anyone's going to act on it, and I don't think he can really do anything about it.
He can't force it. Congress isn't going to kick it up.
Oh no, they've been handing back, or you know, we always talk about them rolling back everything for Dodd-Frank and all the stuff they're doing to to right all the wrongs against the wealthy these past couple of years.
Right, and you know, and now. But now you have them starting to play the populist game, because you have Mr. 47% himself coming out talking about he wants to be a champion for those who are in poverty.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, A, nobody's going to believe you. B, people's memories aren't that short. I mean, so coming from you, it sounds empty and phony and fake.
Yeah.
Now... If anybody to believe, all I have to say is look at Kansas. If you want to see a Republican run everything with unfettered, we're doing what we want type deal, look at Kansas. Kansas is turning around now and about to raise taxes because their little Republican wonderland of, oh, we'll just cut taxes and cut spending and all the jobs will flow in here. No, that's not how that works.
No.
That's just not how that works, period. And anybody who could do math knows that.
Well, looking at some numbers they have on the CBS News for their business side, they said if they were to get rid of this loophole, it would only hit the top 0.1% of earners, and that comes out to about 160,000 families who have assets of at least 20 million. But the amount the country is losing by giving them this loophole are hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
Right.
And even if they were to change the law, they would still have 200,000 up to 500,000 that they could get tax free.
Right.
But it's still passing money on that you earn. So I make all this money. I pass it on to my kids. They live off of the wealth that I've created for them. They don't have to do anything. They haven't put anything back into the country.
No.
Into the government to help, because it's all tax-free. It's all wiped away.
Right.
So I'm getting it good because I haven't had to have my stuff taxed on those capital gains. And then they just get it for nothing.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. I mean, and... They talk about Social Security. Now the Republicans want to act on Social Security again and try to take it away. And they're talking about, well, it's going to be insolvent. Well, it's going to be insolvent. Okay. So you only charge taxes on it up to $110,000 in income. Take the cap off. There. Social Security is solvent forever. Have a nice day. Yep. Go away. So, I mean, you just have this. You have this constant madness and nonsense that they put forth, and then the disrespect to the president got me, and that's where all the memes and stuff came from.
Where he finally
turned around and bit back, and you know they whined about that all day. The man finally lost his patience a little bit and bit back, and they're like, "Oh, he shouldn't have did that. That was rude." What? Shut up. After all the rude, ignorant, thinly veiled, racist things you say about and to this man, you're mad because he basically said a truth to you that you hate? Yeah, okay. You're lucky it wasn't me. Because I'd have told you a whole lot more than he did.
No, but I think when he was talking about immigration or Ferguson and New York and Eric Garner case and those things, it's... For the average American, it's not something that we don't know. Like for those who are people who are honest with themselves,
people can see what has been going on. Right.
You know what the situation is in America right now with race, and it is not good.
No, it's not. And they whined about that, too.
I mean, I saw Selma over the weekend, and I think it couldn't have come at a better time for this country, because it points out to me the one fact that I think blacks and whites a lot of times forget is that race relations is not a black and white issue. It's a people issue.
Right.
And the only time racism stops is when everyone starts treating each other like equals.
Right.
And so you true. Can't pit either side like, oh, we want our rights and you have to give them to us. It's like, no, these are rights that everyone has in this country.
Right.
So let's just act as if it's there, you know?
Right. Let's just act as if we're all here together.
Yeah.
You know, which is all anybody really wants.
Yeah, and, that's it.
You know, that's like when you hear the people who riff on LGBT people. I hope I did that right. I don't feel like getting any letters. They'll say, well, why should they get special rights? I'm like, it's not special rights. They want the rights everyone else has. And I mean, and that's what it should be. They should have the same rights as everybody else. I may not agree with it. I may not want to see it if I'm walking down the street. But at the same time, they're people just like I am.
Right.
And they're American citizens. They should have the same rights I have. Just right. Like I should have the same rights that Matt Damon has. Or anybody else walking down the streets of America today. And the fact of the matter is, everybody's not afforded the same opportunities and rights. And that's what's currently wrong with the country.
Right. Because you're going to say that however I don't want to be treated, I don't want to see anyone else treated that way.
Exactly. It's a take on the golden rule that we're all supposed to be taught when we're young.
Yeah.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's a very simple, very basic rule that if more people live by, we'd have a better country and a better world.
Well, and I think we've forgotten that a bit as people try to assert their own identities apart from that. Mm-hmm. And I say there's a difference between assimilating and accommodating.
Yeah.
Because assimilation says you're getting rid of everything that makes you you.
Right.
Which is wrong. Accommodating says I recognize who you are and what you believe and stand for. This is what I believe and stand for. But there's nothing in between that should keep us from working together.
Right.
Or from being friends or, you know, just living with
letting each other live.
Right.
You know, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me.
Right.
You know, and that.
I mean, I see it in my office, you know, it's like you're in an office environment and you have a radio. What's going to happen?
Somebody's going to bitch about your radio.
You know, okay, I don't like that kind of music. Oh, I don't like that kind of music. Well, I guess we're both listening to music neither one of us likes. You know? Or we turn the radio off.
Or you can turn the radio off or you get some headphones.
Yeah. You know?
And so these are very simple types of solutions.
Yeah. And why should anyone be bent out of shape? It's like, okay, we can't agree on a station to listen to. We just won't listen to it. Or like you said, in my office, we'll have headphones on. Sometimes we'll play music together and I'll ask, hey, I'm going to play this. Is it all right? Yeah, cool. Whatever.
Right.
You know, and then it's, oh, today you want to listen to this? Cool. I'll listen to that. And so I found new music by listening to something someone else was playing. You know?
But, and that's the way it should work. I mean, there should be. Like I don't expect anybody at my job to like my old school hip hop collection that I listen to when I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to play it at work because I don't want anybody getting any bright ideas about saying certain things while I'm sitting there.
Right.
So I mean, it's kind of like one of those deals where I'm like, okay, you know, I don't need you to have the idea that you should be able to say this.
Yeah.
You know.
So, overall impressions of the State of the Union.
I thought it was cool, but I do have one more. I thought it was good. I thought he did a good job, but I do have a complaint, and it's not about the State of the Union. It's about the Republican responses to the State of the Union, and they recently rolled out a young woman who's a veteran. So thank her for her service, named Joni Ernst. Joni Ernst happens to be the latest in a line of Stepford people that the Republicans have rolled out in response to every one of President Obama's speeches. It's almost like you listen to Republicans and they're talking to you like you're a four-year-old child. And I mean, she talked about
good
her
evening,
mother putting
and happy Mardi
red
Gras.
Bags
it's
over
not
her
easy
shoes
to follow.
Because she was poor and Obama wants to tax you to death and Obamacare is terrible. But see, I come from nothing and give me this and your new Republican majority. And I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do? She had nothing to say about what she or her party were going to do about anything. She used the old line of repeal and replace Obamacare. With what? What do you got? Nothing. You have nothing. And I'm going to need you to quit talking to me like I'm crazy. I need you to quit talking to people like your four-year-old children and you know better than them all. You know, and I mean, it was so ridiculous. She wasn't the only one. Ted Cruz, my favorite, had a response. And you know what he did? He screwed up and ended up taking it off of YouTube after it had been posted. But of course, everybody and their mother got it.
Of course, only takes a second.
Right. Then, on top of that, you had a Tea Party response. Then you had a Rand Paul response.
Hey, they're gearing up for elections. They all got to say their thing and get their face out there.
And okay, can we be real? Unless somebody kills Hillary Clinton and the Democrats run out like me, the Republicans not winning in 2016.
I told you, I still wouldn't be so sure of that, but I would agree with you that they have not said anything credible as a response. They have not put forth. I think their party's still fractured. They're doing better at hiding it in the public, or at least publicly not coming out against each other, but they still don't know quite what they're doing, even though they've got control of both houses now. And they're still without a plan.
They never had a plan. You know what their plan has been for the last 6-7 years?
Yeah.
Blame the black guy.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I would say give everything back to the business people.
While blaming the black guy. That's been their plan.
But I don't know, because I don't see it in the... it's not race. It really isn't race. Their agenda...
That's the game they play.
No, I don't...
That's the game they play.
No.
Look at everything... Okay, here's me. I'm looking at everything they've done since he's been elected the first time. Okay? Okay, we're going to deny him everything. We're going to bring up his birth certificate. We're going to do this. Their agenda, deep down, may not be race, but they're playing on the racial fears of a populace.
But I wouldn't even say that.
Who are basically troglodytes.
I would not say that race wasn't an issue in how they were treating the president, but I would say they are consistent in the things that they've put forward for their benefit, for the people that support them. But I don't see race as being that driving force there. It's about the business aspects.
Okay, no, it's not the driving force, but it's the card they play. It's the thing they use to get everybody to go against what he says and to ride with what they say.
But to some degree, they all do that. The Democrats use the blacks as a way to prop themselves up by
putting them in
contrast to the Republicans.
So they do that.
I think that is more damaging to blacks the way that Democrats use race than Republicans, because I honestly don't believe race is a Republican issue. Because if you're not one of the people in that top percent, you're all the same to them.
Right. But what I mean is you have a party who's stated thing more than once, and when you hear of a how can I put this? Not every Republican is a racist, but every racist I've heard of is currently a Republican.
I wouldn't even say. I mean, I would say there's elements racist, but it's not the party. I would not say the Republican Party is racist.
No, the party itself isn't racist. But it's the party racists run to and identify with.
That, yeah, okay. I can see that.
Okay, you know, there's a reason David Duke is a Republican. There's a reason that every time you hear of a white supremacist, he's a Republican. There are reasons for these things.
But you don't think there's Democrats in the KKK and all these Aryan leagues and stuff?
Now let me break down. This is what I know. This is what I see. It's the KKK founded, the founders of the KKK were Democrats. Okay.
No, that, I wasn't even going back to that. But yes, that is true.
But I mean, the way you were putting it, maybe
I'm talking about today. There are Democrats in the KKK.
Are there Democrats who are members of the KKK and hate black people on site? Yes, I would say that there are. There definitely are, because you have your traditionalists there, like you have black people who are still Republican out of tradition.
So I'm just saying, you can't tie racism to the political parties in America.
You can't tie it in an extremely tight permanent knot, but you can tie it. You can tie it to agendas.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean,
we're best friends, but we ain't going to agree on everything. No. I mean, this is just my look on it. I mean, I'm just saying.
I think it's too simplistic to say that, because I think it's a more complex issue than just to say Republicans are racist and Democrats are the black.
Democrats definitely aren't the black saviors, because the other place I was going to go with it was that you have the Democrats who use a different version and type of racism when they're putting it out there of taking the black vote for granted, because they're using the thing of, they know a Republican is going to say something so off the wall and crazy, and they're going to do the same thing with women soon too. Watch.
Oh yeah.
They know Republicans are going to say something so crazy, off the wall, undercover, underhand, slight, trying to be backhanded compliment racist, that black people are going to go, I'm not dealing with them, I'm voting for you. And they take that for granted, which is why if it was up to me, I would encourage every black person I know to withdraw from both political parties and make them come actually work for our votes.
Which is what I do now.
Both sides. which is what I try to do now.
I vote for who I think is best, whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Hey, I voted for Republicans before. I just can't do it on the national level. I've done it on the local level.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Was there anything else from the State of the Union?
No, I think I got my rage out.
There was one last thing: paid sick leave, 7 days of paid sick leave.
Yes, I'm all for that.
Me too.
I'm all for that.
My question to the president is: if this is how you believe, why hasn't he mandated it for federal workers?
And he still might. He has 2 years.
He hasn't. Yeah, but I'm saying
he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, this is his thing.
I think federal workers, or at least some of them, do get some type of paid sick leave.
Oh, we do. I mean, I'm a federal worker.
Right.
And you get, when you start working, you get 4 hours pay period. After 3 years, you get 6 hours a pay period. And then I think it's after 10 or 15 years, you get 8 hours a pay period. So, which isn't bad. I mean, that's really good based on standards for most places. But I'm just saying, you know, if he's talking about companies need to do 7 days of paid sick leave, well, you can start at home. I wouldn't be hurt. I wouldn't mind that.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. And I mean, but you need these. Companies have been getting it their way for the past 40 years. It's kind of time for something to come back to the people. And paid sick leave is just like small. 7 days is just like small. Most other civilized countries we call civilized or Western nations.
Yeah.
Man, they mandated by law that you're getting at least six weeks of vacation. That ain't the sick leave vacation.
Oh yeah,
they have to give you 6 weeks of vacation.
Oh, France shuts down. England has pretty generous leave periods too, especially for mothers,
right?
And even for fathers, for sick leave.
I mean, Well, here in America, we get nothing. We just literally work ourselves to death, and then we die.
I would have liked when my kids were born if I could have just taken, you know, had that leave. Now, I saved up my leave so that I would have time with the kids. But then with each kid, obviously, I had more responsibilities. I moved up in the military. I had less time to take leave to be there with my wife when the kids were first born.
Right.
Just because of duties. If there were some way where I could say, look, this is something I'm authorized to have because this is the law, it would have been different. I would have been able to get more time. But, yeah, I mean, just because you're a guy does not mean you don't want to be there with your kids.
You don't want to be there with your kids,
when they're first born and all that, too. So,
I mean, look, man, but I wanted to be there with my grandson.
That's something different. But.
Right. So, yeah, that was that was something I was really interested in, and that I liked that he did, that he put forth. I don't see any movement on that proposal either.
No,
I mean I don't see any movement on almost any of his proposals because of the current makeup of Congress. I mean, it's just I just don't see it being there.
For my final thoughts, I say that I believe it was a good State of the Union address, especially with the timing. This being his last 2 years in office, kind of setting the stage for where his mind's at and where he wants to go. So I felt he did a very good job of that. And I know I'm looking forward to good things. This stage has been set. So he's going to try and pass some things if Congress blocks it. We already know whose approval rating is way worse than the president's, I think by double digits.
Oh yeah, so and his approval seems to be going.
Yeah, his is going up. I think he's over like 43 or 44 now, something like that.
Yeah,
maybe up to 47, where they're still down. I believe 16 or something.
Yeah, there's some polls that have him at 50%.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen them. I've been hearing about them.
Well, I think that if Congress blocks him, they're only going to cement in history that he's a great president, because at this point, you know, he can't mess up, really.
Right. He has two years left. All he can do is put out there what he thinks.
Yeah.
And I think you're finally going to get completely what he thinks, because he has no one to appease anymore.
Right. He's not campaigning anymore.
He's never gonna hold another elected office. He's never gonna run for another office. I mean, why would you? He's gonna retire with a $500,000 a year salary.
Yeah. So
plus speaking fees.
So if the Republicans wanted to be this is the president that had to fight against Congress for everything for the last 2 years, they're going to look at him as the underdog, regardless of, you know, the previous 6 years.
Right. They're making the same mistake they made with Clinton.
Yeah.
They really are. Yeah. But I don't have it. My thoughts on that is just that I think we have not the perfect president, but a good president, because I don't agree with everything he does. But as considering the things that the country has been through, I think he was the right leader at the right time. You know, that's my feeling on him.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I would say he's present. He's there now, which I don't think he has been at all times in the past for his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's more filling the roles of president now than I felt he did before.
Okay.
Because you've got the whole not caring aspect of coming up on the end after those last major elections. So
right.
And you had some information for us about the Milestone Comics, I believe.
Yes. For those in the audience who may have collected comic books or may currently collect comic books, back in the early 90s, there was a comic book company started by four guys, Dwayne McDuffie, Reginald Hudlin, Dennis Cohen. He spells it with a Y. I don't know if he pronounces it that way. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the fourth founder. They started Milestone Media, which is where most people look at the show Static Shock, even though the character's name is Static. And that's where that character came from, was a set of comic books. that featured black and black Latino characters in their four core books. They were well written for the time. The art was good for the time. They had excellent runs. I enjoyed these books. I have four runs of these first four book or the first four core titles that they did, and they were put out by DC, but DC didn't own them. DC basically did the printing, and apparently they quit their run in 90. They went for about 5 years, so about 98 they completely shut down. They were gone. Dwayne McDuffie, I guess, would be, and Reggie Hudlin would be the two that were the most known. Right. Hudlin went on to write Black Panther for a period of time, and McDuffie went on to write numerous books and be writer on several of the DC animated movies and Justice League, the cartoon. And so what came out today was that the three surviving founders of Milestone Media had retained the rights to their characters and were leasing them to DC, which is why you saw a few of their characters used in the show Young Justice.
Oh, okay.
And in various other shows, like the Justice League appeared on Static Shock, late in Static Shock's run. In that show's run. But they have their characters. They said they took care of some business. They are returning this year to books and to comics and other media. So sometime this year we're going to see the return of Milestone Media in hopefully in all its glory.
Cool.
When they said they're going to be doing new characters. Also, another thing that came out was the character Vixen is getting her own animated series, although it's not going on regular TV.
Oh, okay.
And for those who don't know or didn't watch Justice League, Vixen was going to be DC's first attempt at a black female superhero, and she was supposed to come out in 1978. And somewhere in my collection is a book with her original costume and original design. The book was never printed.
Oh.
Canceled it. So she ended up finally becoming part of the DC Universe in 1981, because I've been reading up on it a little bit. But she apparently is going to get her own animated series. It's supposed to be on something called CW Seed, which is the CW's online thing.
Oh, and I didn't know they did that now.
Yeah, I didn't know they did that either until I read this article. Okay. And apparently her adventures are going to take place in the same universe as the current Flash and Arrow TV series.
Okay.
So you have that coming out. So you have these things that are happening to put more black characters into the forefront, and I'm enjoying it because it's like I'm going to see the return of characters that I already love, written by the people who knew them best.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they did a Static comic book for DC's New 52, and I have the first issue, and I found it to be not really good.
Oh, okay.
To me.
Right.
It didn't have that feel. It didn't have that style. I mean, maybe it improved, but my comic dollars were limited, and I was collecting other stuff, and this didn't grab me.
Right.
But yes, I would love to see these characters come back older, a little wiser, updated for the time, and just see them do their thing.
Well, I came to that series later, you know, because you telling me about it, I had missed all that. I think I was overseas at the time when they came out.
Right.
But that's definitely something I'll look forward to. Also, they had canceled the Star Wars series for Dark Horse. Now it looks like they really just shut it down for a couple of days, and it all belongs to Marvel now. So Marvel has put them up on their service. Only thing they did was take the Dark Horse logo off and put a Marvel logo on.
Wait a minute. So Marvel's reprinting all the Dark Horse Star Wars books?
Well, they have them digitally. Yeah, you could go through the Marvel app, or you know the I guess it is a Marvel app, or through Comixology, whatever.
Okay.
But through their Marvel library, digital library, they have them there.
Right.
But the other thing is they're starting the new Star Wars series, which is going to dovetail with the, I guess, the movies that come out. So it's not a direct tie into the movies, but part of that same universe that they're using for the movies.
It's going to be their new, what do they call it? Because the whole expanded universe, they're like, okay, yeah, it exists, but it's not part of the movie unit. It's not part of canon anymore.
Right. They scrapped everything and said, we're going with whatever the movies were. Everything else is out.
Well, no. The Clone Wars and the TV show is canon. They said that was canon. Rebels is canon. The movies is canon. And I don't think none of the games, none of the expanded universe, none of the comics. Because if you remember back when we were kids, Marvel had that license.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, Marvel had the Star Wars license. They gave it up. Dark Horse picked it up. And I think Dark Horse did some decent stuff with it. Because, I mean, I was collecting the first run of Legacy.
Right.
And I have most of that. And I enjoyed it. I didn't get any of the second run of Legacy, but I might check it out if Marvel's going to have it and have the ability for you to see it. I mean,
well, they have some good stuff. And I don't think they brought back every single thing that was on Dark Horse, but all the main books that they had are back there.
Right.
I think it's the really old stuff that hasn't made it back, but more of the recent stuff. Because Dark Horse has done a really good job with their Marvel series, or not Marvel, but their Star Wars series. The things they brought out. And I liked
all of them. There were some good ones.
Yeah, I liked the Boba Fett ones and Darth Maul, and they had a bunch of Darth Vader focus tales.
Yeah,
I kept up with.
I had gotten one of the Purge books. I guess they did a couple of them that focused on Darth Vader, after Order 66.
Yes.
Him hunting Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, I have at least one of those. I'm pretty sure there were a couple of them. And I had Legacy, and I had read all of, what was it? I had read almost every story in New Jedi Order. I had read almost everything in, what was it? It was New Jedi Order. It was the one where Jason goes to the dark side. It was after New Jedi Order. There was like three or four different book series.
Yeah, I remember the Legacy of the Force one.
Yeah, Legacy of the Force I think is the last one, and I didn't finish that. But the one in between that were because they killed off Anakin Solo in New Jedi Order, and the one in between, one of the Solo kids falls to the dark side. And him and his sister fight.
Okay.
And in the last one, they come across some ancient force being or something. And I didn't get to read it all. But they were all building off of each other.
Okay.
Like that next series built off of New Jedi Order.
Right.
Yeah. And everything that was in New Jedi Order counted in there. So like Chewbacca's dead. Anakin Solo's dead. And the enemy that was there is still there when the next set of series comes out. And it even Todd mentioned stuff that happened when that third and last series came out.
Right.
So, I mean, it was, I found them mostly to be good reads. But, I mean, you know, they got kind of slow and I kind of got out of reading.
Yeah.
So
it started to drag on a bit. There's just so much. And I think a lot of people were upset when they got rid of stuff that they didn't consider canon. But at the same time, there was so much that had been added over the years.
There was too much stuff.
It was too much.
I mean, there was when I heard that there was a Jedi nunchucks. There was a lightsaber nunchucks.
I missed that one.
Expanded universe.
I don't even see how that would work. But
I don't even see how that would work either. Then there was I remember reading a Star Wars book where somehow they mentioned Earth. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, then there was, I mean, because, you know, until they truly, like, started doing the storylines, these books were all over the place. I mean,
right.
Lucas would approve stuff, but they actually built in a timeline.
Yeah, I know, because I'm reading the, which one? Oh, man, I just forgot. It's the series with Revan and the Sith War.
Yeah, it's after the Sith War. Did you read the Darth Bane books? Because I read those.
Oh, Knights of the Old Republic. It's the series after that. After the game, the books to pick up from where the game left off.
Okay.
So I'm reading that series. But at the beginning, they have a listing of where these books fit in the timeline. So that was something they added to all of their books and the graphic novels and stuff and the comics. Right. So you know exactly where in the timeline they fit in.
Yeah, because there was, because what was it? Was it Knights of the Old? It went Knights of the Old Republic. No, was there only two Sith in the? Is there only two Sith in the book you're reading?
Well, there's only one left as far as that was a Jedi to turn bad.
Okay.
This is when they kind of, the Empire. Or the
Sith Empire.
The Republic, I'm sorry, discovers that the Sith are still alive.
Okay. So that would be after Darth Bane, because I think they started they started with Darth Bane. I think they did a three sets of books there. Then they went and they picked up the last book that I read, his apprentice had killed him finally and took an apprentice for herself. But if I remember right, and this is the crazy part, there was a comic book that did the Darth Bane story, but it wasn't Darth Bane.
I'm not sure.
To where they did, because, I mean, okay, because you had a Jedi general named Hoth, right? And this is going way off the deep end. You had a Jedi general named Hoth. You had the girl, a female character who became Darth Bane's apprentice. And then you had, and she had a brother. So these three characters ended up in the Darth Bane books, but I remember there being a comic book based off of this war that was fought on this planet, and the Jedi general's name was Hoth.
Oh, okay.
And in the Darth Bane books, when he dies, like, the Jedi do something to, like, control the dark side there. So when he died, I guess the cold expanded, and there you have the planet Hoth.
See, I didn't follow a lot of this stuff later on.
Yeah,
I got back into it more recently.
Yeah.
But also, new news this week, if you're into gaming and you like some of those old Star Wars games on good old games, they just brought back Star Wars, X-Wing Alliance, the Galactic Battleground Saga, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
I had X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, too.
Yeah. Knights of the Old Republic 2 and Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now, some of those are already on Steam, but one of the benefits with good old games is there's no digital rights management stuff, so you don't have to worry about, once you get the game, you don't have to worry about logging in and all this other stuff. Servers going down, you own it, but that's something there. And, you know, we're going pretty long here, Matt.
Yeah, we are.
So we need to wrap it up, but you have any last words, comments on anything?
I'm just looking forward to the return of Milestone Media. You know, I'm looking forward to us having a more structured format so we could, you know, we didn't tangent much today.
Yeah, we stayed really close on topic.
Yeah, we were able to stay on topic a little bit better and, you know, make improvements as we go along, man. I'm enjoying this. I hope the audience is enjoying this because it gives us a chance to riff on some of our thoughts about stuff.
Yep. And that's the main point. But as always, we want to hear from you all, too. So come on over to the website, believethat.blackvalor.net, or send us email at believethatnews@gmail.com. You could go on Facebook or Twitter and leave us a post on Facebook there. go on to our forums. If you have topic ideas that you want covered or you want to comment on anything we've talked about, we welcome all feedback. And that's going to be it for tonight. We'll see you in a week.
Yep, see you in a week. And stay safe out there.